This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, sports fans, it's world champion Andy Gepper, Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, VegasScoresAndOdds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of VegasScoresAndOdds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. It's 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419. Or go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com.
This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. Parental discretion is advised.
Streaming TV series.
So many channels.
I have a stream.
I just don't know which one to watch.
Is this show worth our time?
I have a stream.
I'm three seasons behind already. Is it even worth catching up?
I have a stream.
What's the series about? Well, my wife liked it too.
Stream.
What channel is it on? And who's in it?
I have a stream.
I want to watch something new, something original.
I have a stream.
I want to watch something that's action-packed.
I have a stream.
Hey, check it out. We're here.
Welcome to Key House.
I could never get your father to talk about his life here. My kids need a home.
Does it have to be this home?
Hello? Are you my Echo?
Yes. Is filled with amazing keys. Listen for them. They whisper. You hear that?
This isn't a game. We don't know what these keys unlock.
You woke me up. You woke me up.
Where is she?
Come on back, peaceful.
Whoa. Easy now.
I'm gonna be free with God.
I've been walking with my face turned to the sun. Weight on my shoulders, a bullet in my gun. Oh, I got eyes in the back of my head, just in case I have to run. I do what I can when I can while I can for my people. While the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night, that's when I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home far across the river. Can you hear freedom calling, calling me to end? can feel it in my bones.
You have made it 100 miles to freedom. Would you like to pick a new name?
Reach for the sky with your face in the
happening, barflies? This is I Have a Stream on Bears Barroom Radio Network. I'm John Santucci. Call me Tooch. With me, as always, is Joey Two Scoops. Joey!
John, what's going on, brother? What's good in the world of streaming?
Oh, man. How about that open, man? We heard Lock and Key on Netflix. We heard the star of The Outsider, Cynthia Erivo, singing her Grammy winner stand up from the movie Harriet. And we heard Green Day's new single, Oh Yeah. And we also heard Rage Against the Machine, Bulls on Parade, Joe. And hey, all that excitement has made me want to drink, Joe. How about you?
Oh yeah, I'm thirsty. I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm happy as a clam. And we have our bartender here to serve us some drinks. So let's introduce him. Bears Barroom right. style.
But I'm also a bald ginger.
This man puts the me in metal. His beard is bigger than Danny DeVito. He's a nerd just like us, and he's here to talk about the shows you love. Put your hands together for the Metal Master, Aaron Mikulski. Oh, Aaron, what's up, buddy?
Another day in paradise, enjoying that drop. I think that's only the second time I've got it, at least live. No, I still appreciate it. That's awesome stuff. How about you guys?
Ah, we're good. We're enjoying our Tuesday night spot. I'm usually doing Shy Fans in the Stands right about now. Right, Tooch?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, instead we're going to talk some streaming TV. We got drinks to order, right, Joe? My usual, Aaron?
Yes, sir. Coming right up.
And for all of you listeners that don't know, Tooch basically is a walking bourbon bottle.
Two fingers, two rocks. You're coming up. Beautiful.
All right, so I guess I should pick out a drink. I don't know what I'm going to have. In honor of my buddy Greggy Sunshine, I think I'm going to go ahead and take a White Claw. I'll take a mango White Claw in honor of Greggy Sunshine. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do that.
All right, coming right up. Yes, sir. We'll get that for you. Mango White Claw.
Yeah, Greg, that's right. I know how much you love it.
And Aaron, get yourself some.
Oh, God, coming off cold.
Right after you pour yourself a drink.
I'm going to go with a screwdriver, get some orange juice in my system.
There you go.
A little bit of vodka, something simple.
Maybe we'll add a little bit of tequila to that to help your senses.
Yeah, let's do that. Clear me out, man. That's what I need. It's all in my head right now.
Right on. Well, we got a great show tonight.
We do. We have a great show.
He's the head key.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk a little bit lock and key. That's what Aaron is talking about, using the head key. Crazy show on Netflix, which is my latest watch. We're gonna talk some Outsider. We're gonna preview the new Green Day album, and we're gonna talk about a couple bands who are going on tour this summer, including Rage Against the Machine, Green Day, and others. All right, and let's get down a little bit of news, Joe, first to start it off. I think the news will set the tone for the rest of the show.
Yeah, we'll switch it up a little bit. We're going to lead it off with the news in two scoops or less.
What?
You look like Mary Poppins.
Is he cool?
Hell yeah, he's cool.
I'm Mary Poppins, y'all! Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Here.
It's entertainment news in two scoops or less.
Holy smokes!
All right, so here's a little bit of entertainment news for you guys. Allegedly, secretly, Netflix is working on a series based on the Resident Evil video games. Top secret, but Netflix accidentally posted a blurb about it on their website that was quickly scrubbed. But the internet is forever. Some interpret some web surfers actually kept the receipts, just like Tucci always does when he has to return that bottle of bourbon with 3/4 of the way gone. Just like those sleuths out there. But for all you guys looking for a Resident Evil series, it looks like it's on the way. Obviously, we have a bunch of people here on this show that are very excited about that.
Did either of you guys play the Resident Evil video games? Anybody?
Oh, of course.
I didn't. I had not, no. I was
I'll tell you.
An Xbox guy for a long time.
Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 4 were awesome, but Resident Evil 4 is one of the greatest video games ever made, man. It's like gothic horror. It's really cool if you guys ever played it. I used to really get into that when I played it all the way to the end. And man, it's a great adventure. It takes place in like Spain or somewhere like the mountains between Spain and France. And it's an old castle with all sorts of weirdness going on in there, including the Umbrella Corporation. And it was a tough game, man. But it was beautiful.
The origin of the origin of the coronavirus.
Yeah. But man, I liked the Resident Evil movies, but they kind of strayed far from the video games. You know, it would be cool if the Netflix series is a lot more like the video games, I'll tell you.
I imagine it's tough to make a movie pretty loyal to the video game. I don't know a whole heck of a lot of video game movie adaptations that are pretty spot on, I guess.
Yeah, video games aren't really made to be films. They're made for you to go through and kill a bunch of things or whatever.
Yeah. It's tough to squeeze that in.
The Resident Evil 4 story would make a great movie or series.
Well, maybe that's what they're doing, Tooch. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
That would be cool.
Moving.
I see what that be.
Moving on.
Moving on to our next bit of news. Rage Against the Machine announced a massive reunion tour that starts March 26th. In El Paso, Texas. The tour will end September 10th and will cover North America and Europe. The tour will stop in Chicago at the United Center May 19th and will also hit Alpine Valley, Wisconsin on July 10th. So you know that's going to be a hot ticket coming up this summer, guys. That's a long time coming there.
Man, Zach De La Rocha, Tom Morello, and gang, that's going to be something, man. I remember the first time I heard Bulls on Parade. It really blew my mind back. That was 1996. You guys weren't even born yet. And I was
born in 96. Come on, dude.
But 8 years before that.
Just messing with you.
I was a wee lad, but I was born.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Well, that's going to be great.
So keep your...
Man, that's a definite bucket list concert.
Yeah, so definitely people been waiting a long time for that. And then also people been waiting a long time for our next bit of news. Green Day released their 13th studio album, Father of All, this past week. The uncensored name of the album is Father of All Motherfuckers, but they couldn't put that on the album, so the Rock and Roll Hall of Famers have been making music since 1987. Green Day, Weezer, and Fall Out Boy are joining forces for a stadium tour this summer, appropriately dubbed the Hella Mega Tour. The run kicks off June 13th, 2020 in Paris, hits 7 more cities in Europe, then 20 cities in North America, wrapping August 29th in Philadelphia. Gentlemen, I am going to this show at Wrigley Field.
Nice.
I am very excited.
Whoa. I'll bet, man. I love Weezer too, man. I bought Dookie on vinyl back in 1994, I think it was, when that album came out.
I bought Dookie on vinyl a couple weeks ago. Honest to God, I did.
Nice. And I was a huge fan of a band called The Jam, which kind of like the precursor to. And I know Green Day are huge fans of The Jam, Paul Weller and company. British punk rockers, punk pop, who did it, you know, back in the mid '70s. And if you're a fan of Green Day, you'd probably love The Jam.
Yeah.
And then Green Day, I listened to that new album today. I gotta say, man, it's really good. It's different. It's retro, Joe. It's got some retro sounds from the '50s, yeah, '60s, and the
'80s. Yeah, it's almost like '60s glam rock meets like modern day punk slash alternative. And I figure we might as well lead with this, too, since we're kind of talking about
let's play some snips. Can we play some snips? Yeah, from the album?
Tooch and I grabbed a couple of our highlights of songs we really liked, and we have Aaron on here who hasn't heard any of the songs, so it might be good to get his reaction here. But here's a song that Tooch had in the open. It's called Oh Yeah. This is one of the singles, and it actually uses part of a Joan Jett song. All the proceeds from this song are going to some charity that I can't remember, but still very cool. So here's a little snippet from Green Day's new single, Oh Yeah. I'm in the crowd full of angels and demons. I'm looking out for the jingles and heathens. Nobody moving, nobody gonna get through. Reach for the sky with your face. So yeah, a little snippet of Oh Yeah.
Oh man, I like that one. That's a stadium rock, you know, perfect for stadium rock, man. I love that. That's got that glam rock chorus, huh, Joe?
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one to hear it. Like you said, Wrigley Field, that'll be great. You know, one thing, a lot of people listening probably don't know this, and I'm a huge Green Day fan, a giant nerd, so I'm going to give you guys the knowledge. About 5 to 8 years ago, Green Day put out a side project called Foxborough Hot Tubs, and people didn't know it was them to begin with.
Wow.
And they put out a whole like 60s rock album.
I gotta hear that.
And
I didn't even know about it.
And this basically is transitioning that sound into Green Day. So that's kind of why this sound is so familiar to me. I really like it. With that said, Oh Yeah is my least favorite song on the album. not that it's a bad song. It's just not my favorite. But Aaron, first thoughts after hearing that?
First of all, if you wouldn't have told me that was Green Day, I wouldn't have had any idea. But it's definitely, I mean, we can't go wrong with that drum beat. That drum beat itself is good enough to get your toe tapping. That's going to be stuck in my head for the next 2 or 3 days. But I mean, Green Day's not usually my thing, but I dig it. I think it's kind of a cool sound.
Yeah.
You know one of their videos, Aaron has Dustin from Stranger Things in it, starring in it. You know,
oh, really?
Gaten Matarazzo in their video. He's kind of grown up now, Joe.
Yeah, he's going through puberty.
He's tall. Yeah, he's taller, and he's like a a high schooler now. He's no longer the little Stranger Things kid. They kind of dress him down for the show. Whatever. Are they going to be? You guys think they'll be in high school next for Stranger Things season 4?
Who knows?
They gotta be.
Think
right?
So. Yeah.
They're so big. They're bigger now. All of them.
They're all big stars. That's for sure. They're in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's move on to our next song that we really liked, and Tooch and I both agreed on this one as being one of the standouts on the album, possibly the best song on the album. Tooch and I really like this song. It's called Sugar Youth by Green Day. This is off of Father of All, and here's a little snippet. Yeah, some really, really fun guitar on that one.
Man, I love that. That's classic Green Day. That's, you know, that the Ramones and Jam influence.
Yeah.
That's going to be great in the mosh pit, man.
I'm thankful I have a seat for the show.
No right, kidding. That'll get people.
My mosh days are behind me. I'm approaching the mid-50s, so.
Yeah, no way I wouldn't do it either anymore.
Yeah, and you know, and obviously that's a throwback to kind of classic Green Day, like Tooch said, but there are some songs on here that have that really 60s rock vibe. And a song that Tooch and I really like on this album is called Stab You in the Heart. And here's a little snippet. This sounds like it's straight out of 1960. So here you go. So yeah, straight out of 1960 with that.
Yeah, my achy breaky heart. Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
That's what I heard too.
A nod to achy breaky heart right there. Yeah, I love that one too, man. It's gonna be great in the kids are dancing in that mosh pit.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because surfing. Yeah, there will be crowd surfing, and you know, some people are giving Green Day a little bit of shit for what they've done with this album. They've kind of taken a lot of chances and kind of changed what people know as their sound. But I tell you what, in this day and age, to have a band go in there with open mind and kind of do whatever the hell they want, I don't know if there's anything more rock and roll than that.
No, man, for sure. That's actually one of my favorite things about Mastodon is none of their albums sound the same. They change it up. I mean, if you go back to their first album compared to where they are now, it's entirely different. It seems like every album they kind of just take on a whole new beast, and it's a challenge. So to see Green Day do that, I love seeing bands do that, you know. And when people, you know, actually the guitarist from Mastodon did an interview once where somebody said something about how come you don't do the same songs or the same style that you used to? And he said, well, if you want the same stuff, why don't you pick up the old album and put it in? Kind of a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I thought that was killer. Right. You want the old stuff? Listen to the old stuff. But, you know, go out and do your own thing, especially for somebody that's been around as long as Green Day. Like, they get to do whatever the hell they want at this point.
No kidding. And
so do you have another snip there, Joe, for us?
Yeah, we've got one more. This is a song that Tooch and I really liked. It's called Graffitia. It's the closing song of the album, and here's a little snippet. Yeah, definitely a stadium anthem with that one. You could definitely see that echoing throughout. And it's just, you know, it kind of has some Clash vibes going on a little bit there. And, you know, overall, I really like this album. It's And for everyone out there that's worried about their time and valuable time, the album's 26 minutes, 10 songs, 26 minutes. Yep. And yep. It's just pure kick you in the ass, rock and roll the whole way through, man. And Tooch, mm-hmm. I know you and I started talking about this a little bit, I think earlier this morning, and you got through the whole album. You know, what was it like for you listening through it on the first spin?
I love it. This is right in my wheelhouse. Like I said, I'm a huge Jam fan. I've been a Green Day fan for quite a while. I love the pop side of rock, you know, and this is an album I would buy for the car, you know. I mean, this is when summer, this would be great if you have a convertible and you're blasting it and you're, you know, driving, you know, lakeside or beachside, you know.
Right.
It would be perfect. Perfect. Summertime. And summer's right around the corner, man. We're like three. We're almost through this winter, Aaron. The Iowa winter's been pretty tame. I know.
Yeah, welcome back. It's the minute you say that, you know, we'll be about a month or so. We'll
Tooch just screwed the whole state of Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah, from everybody here in Iowa. Fuck you, Tooch.
Oh, I gotta get that drop. That's great.
Right on, yeah.
Do it. Save it.
I'm gonna have that drop all the time now. Fuck you, Tooch.
Right on. Well, if you guys tune in here tomorrow night, you can hear Bears 100 Proof with Draft Dr. Phil and Joey Two Scoops, my radio son, filling in for the Godfather tomorrow.
Yeah.
With special guest Greg Braggs Jr.
Yep, and there might be another special guest around there floating somewhere.
Might be a secret special guest.
I think Lame Marsaw might be making an appearance.
Lame Marsaw might stop by. I know. Best get well wishes to Shane and his family. They've been really sick. So, if you got prayers and good vibes, send them out to Shane and his family.
Absolutely, Shane. We're thinking about you, brother.
Really miss him. Yeah,
and we'll have to have Shane on. I have a stream soon because I know he's a streamer.
All right, and then,
but before real quick, Tooch, before we get off the Green Day album, obviously the store it's available in all stores. You can get it streaming on Apple Music, Spotify. The album is called Father of All, and you can get it pretty much anywhere they sell music or stream music. Definitely gets a solid 4.5 out of 5.
Oh man, I'm right there with you, man. I really like this. I have been kind of estranged from new music, you know. I like this kind of stuff more, you know. So this is a breath of fresh air for music. I like going back to the retro sound that I grew up with in high school and in college. And this is my comfort zone, Joe.
Well, sweet. And Aaron, any summarizing to the little bit of the clips you heard there from the album? I know you're not a huge Green Day fan, but this is kind of different from what you usually hear from them.
Green Day, I mean, even this new stuff, they're kind of good for everybody, I feel like. I mean, there's definitely more of a punk-ish aspect to them, but they're the kind of person that can play on the radio and everybody will bob their head to.
Yeah.
So, you know, they may even be reaching an older crowd with them with their 60-ish stuff. So it's tough to tell with that, but, you know, Green Day's generally, I think, a crowd pleaser.
There you go. They'll be pleasing crowds all summer long with Weezer and Fall Out Boy. Bands that I know Aaron is a fan.
I'm a huge
that's
fan
a big
of Weezer.
Story, man.
I know.
Weezer's our Memory Stream song, Joe.
Is that Memory Stream? That is?
Yeah.
That's I would not a Weezer fan. I'd take Fall Out Boy and I would take Green Day, but I'd something about Weezer just...
I'm lucky. I happen to have it right in front of me.
Nice.
And I was like, oh.
That's Weezer, Aaron. You gotta love that one, man. Memories make me want to go back there. It captures all of what we love about memories.
This is true.
Punk rock song.
Good stuff.
But it was our first ever music segment on I Have a Stream.
I know, it's great. That's right. Well, you people stream music.
It's you know, it's going to be a new thing now. We're going to be talking about new the repertoire of I Have a Stream. We'll be talking about new music. So
I like it.
New music, new shows, new new liquor, which, you know, when you get a, whenever I get a new bottle, I've got the Templeton whiskey from Templeton, Iowa. So I'm streaming that right now.
Really good. But, it's the best. Love it. It's fantastic.
Great drop. Oh, man. Well, speaking of streaming TV, Aaron, you and I are watching a really good one right now. Can you tell that I have a stream audience a little bit about Netflix's latest streaming series called Lock and Key?
Yeah, I actually just finished it myself, and I'm really excited about it. It's tough not to spoil everything. So basically, if you didn't get it from the brief clip we played at the beginning of the show, this family moves to a new home, and it's a giant house that everybody calls Key House. Well, soon after they move in, this kind of weird stuff starts happening. The kid goes over to a well on the property and starts yelling, hello, but then somebody starts yelling back. So soon after, the littlest kid starts finding these keys, and all these keys do something magical. So some of them have a certain door that they have to work with. Other keys work with whatever magical power it is that they have wherever they are. The one that's used in, I don't know if you want to call it the most powerful key, but the one that shows up, I think, first is actually called the Anywhere Key, where you picture a door that you've seen in your mind, and you plug the key into the door and into any door that you're currently at. So you go to your bathroom door and unlock it, and you can go to your favorite restaurant or somewhere across the country or anywhere.
As long it opens as you've the door been, anywhere. As long as you've seen the door, correct?
Yep, exactly. As long as you've seen it in real life. Right. Yep, exactly. I don't know if you have to see it in real life, because I thought once in the show she maybe uses a picture from a magazine or something. But
right,
you have to be familiar with the door.
The head key to me is fascinating. Tell the audience a little bit about the head key.
The head key, I don't know if you've gotten there yet, but you're at the head key. Well, okay, so there's a part where it becomes a really important part of a certain characters, but towards the end of the series, which you haven't got to yet, it's actually kind of holds a secret for something else. Okay. So the head key, basically, as soon as you're holding it, you plug it into the back of your neck, like you move your head towards it, and the keyhole opens up
in the neck. It's kind of gross, but...
Sorry, I was muted. And it kind of sounds gross, too. It's just like bones crunching when you turn it. So the second you turn
flesh
the head
and
key...
Flesh bones squelching.
Yeah. A door opens up, or a door appears usually somewhere in the room with you. So that door, at least for the characters, is, you know, one of them is a door from their childhood home, or a door from their school, or a door from somewhere else. And the characters go into the door, and the door opens up to basically the mind of whoever it is that the key is plugged into. So it starts out with a little kid. He, like, a toy box shows up, and it basically his has a giant arcade. So other characters are a little bit darker as you get into it and you know, figure out what it is that they're all about. But the head key ends up being pretty important.
Right, and the Locke family is basically three children, a mother and a father who was recently murdered. And that's why they returned to the father's ancestral home in New England. Now, in that when Kinsey uses the head key, Aaron, I got to tell you, she goes to a mall, which is like this weird mall that like goes up forever.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah.
That is right out. I used to have dreams about a mall like that.
Oh, where,
like,
weird.
I would visit a mall and there'd be all these like Escher-like moving staircases, escalators.
Yeah.
Sometimes to get to another floor, you'd have to slide down a tube. Or on the higher levels, it was so narrow outside the stores of the mall on the upper levels.
Yeah.
It was super narrow where you're like, you're edging along like a, you know, the edge of a cliff.
It must have been weird for you.
That was like straight out of one of my dreams. I was telling my wife, I'm like, That's wild. Little flashback there, but highly recommend Lock and Key, man. It's a really unique show.
Part of based off a graphic novel, which is also killer if you haven't seen it yet.
Right, and that's good. They've got good source material, so I'm I'm halfway through, and I'm looking forward to it. My wife and I are really enjoying it. So if you have Netflix, check out Lock and Key, which Aaron and I are really enjoying. And Joe, hopefully we can convince him to check it out, and he can give us his report coming up.
Yeah, I got a lot of shows to watch. I got a lot of shows to watch.
Right. And
the Tooch is frozen.
Oh, super frozen.
Oh,
now he's back.
There we go. There you go. Kip, you're good.
I disappeared for a little bit, huh?
It looks like you. Yeah.
You did. It's okay. Aaron and I figured it out. We just snapped our fingers and you're back.
Yep. There was key that I froze you with.
Right. Well, we should. Before we sign off, hit up a little outsider so we can catch everybody up with the outsider and hit that up next week. It's coming to a close. And boy, it's really reaching a boiling point, Aaron, after episode 6.
Okay. Well,
let's talk about some of the stuff that has happened since we talked about it. And one of the things, episode 4, we opened up with Heath and a mysterious woman having breakfast in a cafe. The woman later turns out to be a woman who's in jail, who was convicted of a similar crime as Terry,
yeah,
of murdering some kids, but she was nowhere near there. And Heath also was convicted of murdering two little girls. And Holly is on the trail of both Heath and Maria, and she's tracing back Terry to Heath to Maria, and it turns out that Heath was the nurse at Terry's father's nursing home that bumped into Terry and gave him the scratch or cut on his wrist.
Yeah.
So Holly she's onto the scent of the outsider. And meanwhile, all along, Aaron, the outsider is getting a little more aggressive as he's trying to keep people off of his trail,
yeah,
warning them, do not follow me. All of this stuff. He's visiting people in their dreams. Do you think the outsider has some kind of power to enter people's minds from these past couple episodes here?
That's sure what it sounds like. It's tough, too, because, Holly was talking about Cuco. So it's tough I don't know if there's a certain entity or being that he is supposed to be modeled after. So it's really tough to nail down what he could and can't do. Obviously, since day one, I thought shapeshifter, which seems to obviously be the case. But beyond that, because, heck, even looking at the police guy, he's not there, but he's physically affecting him. So then I don't see how being able to reach people in their dreams is definitely out of his wheelhouse. I wouldn't say that at all.
Right. And now Cynthia meets a woman in jail while she's talking to Maria and goes and visits her. And she's the one who explains about the Hispanic boogeyman called El Cuco, which is basically the title of the story, Que Viene El Cuco. And here comes the boogeyman is basically the translation. And boogeyman, they would tell little kids, hey, behave or the Cuco will eat you. The boogeyman will come and eat you, which is basically what's been happening in the show. Little kids are getting eaten. And when Heath met Maria for breakfast, it wasn't Maria, though. It was the outsider in Maria's skin. And Heath had sex with the outsider, Aaron.
Yeah, he definitely did. I thought it was kind of interesting.
He was banging the outsider.
Yeah,
that's kind of gross. And
that's one way for the outsider to get his DNA.
I wonder, is the outsider male or female or both?
Maybe it's neither. Maybe it kind of takes on whatever it is that it's.
Or neither, right.
Yeah, so here's the confusing part, too. Now that I think about that, so obviously the outsiders had physical contact with Heath. But in this last episode, the name is escaping me. His wife was talking. No, Holly was in there talking with the detective's wife about how maybe it's a thought form projection.
Jeannie, right.
Yeah.
Jeannie is Ralph's wife.
Yeah, so they were in there talking, and she said that there was no imprint or indentation from the chair when he was after he was sitting there.
Right.
So that's kind of weird.
Episode,
so we can
episode six, right?
And
episode
five. Right. Yeah.
Episode five, the outsider visits Jeannie in Ralph's house. But there's a real creepy scene where Jeannie walks across broken glass, sleepwalks across broken glass in her bare feet. It's really gross.
Yep. My bad. I kind of skipped forward there.
My goodness. And then at the end of episode four, Jack, who's under the control of the outsider, buys a bunch of things at a hardware store and dumps them in the middle of the forest. It was like lamps. What do you think the outsider needs with the lamps?
I have no idea.
That part, I don't know. I don't know if I can revisit that at all. I thought that was kind of interesting.
In episode five, when Jack goes back to the forest, like all the lamps and stuff are gone, you know? But some of the other stuff he bought, I forget what he bought. I think he bought like a chair or ottoman.
I saw bubble tape or something.
Yeah. Tape. It looked like a stick or a pole or broom handle.
Yeah.
A bunch of stuff. I wonder if we'll see that again. I have no idea, but we also have Holly in a relationship with Andy, who's the security guard she met in Dayton, who was an ex-detective himself, who's been helping her. What do you think of the relationship between Holly and Andy? Are you buying it, Aaron?
Yeah, I think so. It seems like Andy's a pretty patient dude, and Holly's kind of vulnerable. I mean, who knows? She may not do this a lot. That's kind of the vibe that I'm getting off her, but she's opening herself up to him. So I don't see they haven't really hinted at it being any like he's using her for information on the case kind of a deal.
Right.
So I mean he's getting stuff from her, but she's also getting stuff from him. So it seems like it's mutually beneficial.
Want to hear my crazy?
He tells her that. Yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
What if Andy's the outsider? Huh?
Ooh, wow.
And then
that's not bad.
And then she also bangs the outsider, and then she
gets
infected. Then things go out of bounds, man. That's my prediction. Jesus.
Wow. Didn't think about that.
That'd be wild.
Right now,
holy shit.
Jack is under the control of the outsider. He's got blisters all over his neck, and that's a surefire sign of control of the outsider. He's able to. It's like his Renfield. You know, Dracula and Renfield, Aaron, you know?
Yep.
But
sure is. Which was a good Netflix series. If you didn't know if we talked about that last episode.
I have not seen that one. How was the Dracula series?
Pretty decent. Pretty short. Kind of took a weird turn there at the end, but definitely worth the watch.
All right, man. My wife wants to watch that one, so I'll probably have to settle in. I've got to catch up on Westworld, because I know Joe's two seasons ahead of me on that one.
That's coming back next month.
I'm caught up on that one.
Coming back next month, March 26th, I think.
Same time as Ozark Season 3 coming out.
Oh, Ozark Season 3. Nice.
You know, anytime somebody says Ozark, I mean, I just go...
And
that'll be a great one, too, to talk about, man. Well, episode five, of course, starts with a flash forward where Heath's cousin Tracy has committed suicide by police. Now, Holly had seen him, later on in the episode, which is actually before Tracy dies, at Heath's grave, and she's like, "Who are you?" You know, she was visiting Heath's grave too to try and get more clues, and she finds out that Tracy knew Heath and. Heath eventually was also under the control when Holly came up behind Tracy. She saw some blisters on his neck, so that's one thing that will come into play later on in episode six. But around the cemetery, a bunch of derelict buildings in Dayton, Aaron, which Holly believes is where the outsider hangs out, you know, getting his high from the grief of people who die surrounding the victim, who's the perpetrator, the falsely accused perpetrator of child murders.
Yeah.
So do you remember when Ralph visits Terry's grave, do you remember what's around the cemetery there?
The barn.
The barn was right outside the cemetery.
Terry's clothes set. Yeah, right. I did not see that coming. I thought that was wild.
Mm-hmm. And that brings us to episode 6, man, which is, I think it's one of the best ones so far. It really is starting to tie things together, but it leaves you hanging at the end. But Holly's leaving Dayton because she's wrapped up her business there. And in the bus terminal, she sees the news that Tracy was killed by police. And she's traveling on the bus from Dayton to Georgia to reunite with Ralph and Howie and the rest of them who hired her. She wakes up from sleep and she sees Tracy's ghost in the back of the bus, who tells her to look out the front window. Whoa. What do you think that was all about, Aaron?
I mean, going back into it being somebody's dreams, maybe he reached out to her and basically showed her that in an attempt to have her do what she did, and was hoping she'd die, is my best guess.
Is it possible that Holly's just under so much stress from this, she just imagined it because she's got to present this case that she knows nobody's going to believe?
Yeah. No, I mean, that obviously could be the thing. Mm-hmm. But with having him be in people's dreams in the past, I don't see how that's not in the realm of possibility for him to have reached out to her while she was sleeping to get her to do that and attempt to kill her.
Right. Now, Holly, who's played by Cynthia Erivo, who sang that song we heard at the beginning of the show, has got an amazing singing voice. The Academy Award winner from Harriet. Man, she's also a great singer. Zach Sullivan is in love with her. Zach Sullivan in the chat room is in love with Cynthia Erivo, too. But how can he not? Well, she's so worried about presenting her case because she knows that nobody's going to believe her. And when she says she's talking with Jeannie afterwards, or I think it's either Jeannie or Ralph, who says, we do the same thing with God, you know? But we believe about God anyways. Why can't we believe in the outsider? You know, which is, this is probably, I didn't read the novel, but this is, if it's the same, then this would be Stephen King's most existential novel to date, because it really why do we believe in God or gods and not in supernatural boogeymen, Aaron? Is one easier to believe in than the other?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge believer and fan of the paranormal things, and that's one thing that I got to constantly check myself on is, you know, something about, you don't believe in God, but you can believe in aliens or Bigfoot, or vice versa. And I said, well, you know, how about you allow the possibility that one exists without really criticizing the other party?
Right. I mean, most people accept that God exists without any evidence. Uh-huh. Here we've got evidence of you know, some kind of people being in two places at one time. We've got video evidence. We've got DNA evidence.
Right. You know?
And it's building to a head. Now, Ralph is kind of pissing me off, Aaron, because like you said earlier that there was no indentation, he said, during the chair. And Holly comes to Ralph and Jeannie's house after she bombs out at the – you know, Glory gives her, you know, this is what you fucking are spending time on, the fucking boogeyman, you know?
Right.
Glory is the worst passive-aggressive, you know, person on the show. She's like, really, really nice. Then after she gives you something, she's like, well, I hope it was all worth it. Or, you know, this is how you tried to exonerate my husband. I'm not a fan. But Ralph is pissing me off because he tells Yoon, he's like, well, I'm going to go do cop stuff, like look for evidence. But he doesn't even fucking look in his own house for fucking clues. Right. You know? It takes Holly coming by his house and putting colored tape over her iPhone and making a black light to look for the spectral residue of the outsider. You know? And he still doesn't believe. He still doesn't believe. So Ralph is going to, I mean, Ralph going to wake up before the end of the series?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's got probably a revelation coming here pretty quick.
I mean, Ralph's like the worst person to be leading this investigation right now. But
yeah.
Yoon Yoon and Alec are kind of in on it. Like, Alec is like, I read about this kind of stuff. He's really the private investigator that works for Howie. But Yoon is also into it because he had some experience with his grandma telling him about El Cuco. So Yoon is on the scent, and he's gone to the right place, and the right place is outside the strip club where Claude Bolton, who was scratched by fake Terry, is acting up. Do you think he's going to be the next victim of the outsider? Claude Bolton, the nightclub owner, the strip club owner.
Oh, Aaron, you're on a mute. Oh,
damn it. That's the first time. But
there was genius coming out there.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't go that way, because I think everybody's expecting it to go that way, specifically for that reason. It's like, oh, he's scratched. Right. It's got to be Claude. And I'm waiting for it to come in where it's just not him at all.
Right. Now the outsider, I think he'd be – I just don't see him – I mean, it looks like he's doing it, but I just don't see him striking in the same town. He's moved from New York to Dayton to Georgia. And why would he like strike twice in the same place? That would kind of give his, you know, give him away, right? From Blue? I mean, I don't know.
Unless he's like smart enough to know that nobody believes him.
Well, he's making a mistake if he thinks he's going to strike twice in the same spot and no one finds him. Because Yoon is onto the trails. Holly's onto the trail. But Holly's in a little bit of trouble. Holly's in a little bit of trouble right now because she agreed to pick up Jack, who wanted to be on this case, and who just got done getting beat up by his mom, the ghost of his mom.
So right.
Do you think Jack beat himself up?
I don't think so, because in the clip, when he was like crawling on the floor, it looked like somebody kicked him in the butt and like shot him forward, so... I don't think so. I mean, that goes back to the telepath powers or whatever.
Right. I mean, could it be him being controlled to beat himself up and think it was his mom beating him, or the outsider's physical manipulation or force? But they haven't explained it yet. But Cynthia agrees to pick him up and take him to some place he's convinced her there's more evidence of, the barn.
Right.
She does something clever. She drops something on the floor, making Jack pick it up and sees the back of his neck. So she's not unaware of what's going on. She tries to like, hey, I'm gonna turn back and go get Ralph. You know, right. He's like, no, keep driving. We don't need Ralph. You know.
Nope. Exactly. Yeah, she says she forgot something at home. It's important investigation. He's like, nope, gonna keep going.
And that, of course, is where Episode 6 leaves us, you know, right there. And I'll tell you, what do you guys, or what do you think is going to happen to Cynthia? Does she get out of it? Stephen King likes to sometimes kill off characters that we're fond of. So
yeah,
next week, do you think Holly makes it out alive, or?
Yeah, I think so. I think it'd be too obvious for her not to. That's at least what I'm going to go with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Joe, any guesses? Holly living or dying?
Oh, man. I honestly don't have the slightest clue. I like the character, so I'm going to go ahead and say I think she lives, just out of the guess.
Right on. And Jack, I don't think Jack's going to be around much longer. Aaron?
No. Nope, I think he's a surefire dead guy.
Yeah, I do too. I think, but man... Next week is going to be killer because, I mean, basically Jack is driving Holly out to her death, you know, to kill her out at the barn. Yeah,
so, that's what he's hoping for anyhow.
So, there'll be a lot of people tuning in to episode 7, man, I'll tell you that. And
us three will.
That brings us to the end of the show, Joe. How about taking us out with a little Green Day tonight?
Yes, I will do that.
All right. Nice.
So, everyone, thanks again for tuning in. Another fun week of I Have a Stream. And I'm just going to go ahead and pull up one of those sound clips from earlier because I don't have a full song, but we'll just go ahead and roll with it.
Yeah.
Actually, I might have a full song if you guys want to.
Yeah, right, you know, other stuff you didn't touch on with the music part, My Chemical Romance announced that they are together, and are also going on a reunion tour. I don't remember with who, but yeah, My Chemical Romance is going on tour too. More personal for me, they just announced Megadeth is going to go on tour with Lamb of God, Trivium, and In Flames. Wow. That one I'm going to. They're going to be here in Omaha on November 2nd.
Is that a reunion tour for Megadeth?
No, they just never stopped.
They never stopped. That's amazing.
Crushing it.
Dave Mustaine still in the band?
He is still their guitarist and lead singer and actually just beat cancer. He had throat cancer last year. He got diagnosed.
That's right.
But he's 100% cancer free.
Wow. Excellent. Well, yeah, let's talk about Bears Barroom tomorrow night, 100 proof at 8 o'clock Central. Thursday, we've got Draft on Tap at 8 o'clock Central. And if you missed it today, earlier today was the Bearlissimo show where he interviewed tight end prospect Bryson Hopkins out of Purdue, man. So go back and listen to that one if you missed that one today. That was great. Man, I would love to have Bryson Hopkins on the Bears. And, man, tomorrow night, 100 proof with Joey Two Scoops sitting in the barkeeper's chair.
Yeah, that's gonna
be something.
It's gonna be a fun one, no doubt. So make sure you guys tune in for that.
I hope my vocal cords can survive another 3.5 hour show, man. I'm telling you, I almost lost my voice after the last one.
Well, maybe it'll happen again.
I was laughing so hard with Aldo with his computer voice simulator.
Oh yeah,
it was hilarious. Did you listen, Joe? Oh my God!
I did.
So funny, man! Stuff. I laughed so hard, man. My stomach was killing me at some of it. If you haven't heard, Aaron, go back and listen because Aldo.
I'm gonna have to.
He had a voice simulator and he was typing a bunch of dirty shit into it. You know.
That's awesome. Like, I'm gonna have
so
to.
So funny! Oh my God! All right. Well, thanks to all the listeners, man, for tuning in. We'll be back next week talking Outsider Episode 7 and a few other surprises. Hopefully we have Draft Dr. Phil and Mrs. Draft Dr. Phil back next week. And hope to see you all there, Joe.
Sounds like a plan. Aaron, a huge thanks again to you, brother. Appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
My drink is extra strong. Thank you very much.
That's what I do. Yes, sir. I'll be here next week, too.
All right, guys, and I'm going to take this out with a little old Green Day from American Idiot, a little Homecoming. So here we go.
Another year flies by, waste a night or two.